Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, I'm excited. It's Tuesday night. Tomorrow, I fly out to get ready for Joliet, Illinois. My team is getting ready to go with me. I just want you to understand, this is going to be powerful. I don't always get an opportunity to have my team with me. And so I've got at least a good member of the team, a good number of the team. So they're coming. They're joining me. We're going to have a blast in Joliet, Illinois, at Antioch Christian Assembly. Now, after last week, we got a flurry of registrations. Hey, don't stop. Don't stop. You don't want to miss this. Now, here, I'm going to say. I have been literally receiving downloads of powerful miracles for the last 5 days. Now, that's not common. I move the miracles all the time, so that's not it. But there is a particular dispensation that God is bringing to that event. You don't want to miss it. Very important. Yes, I'm starting off talking about that. You don't want to miss it. I'm telling you, I was saying to you a couple of days, I was like, I got playing in the spirit by myself. Nobody there, me and Jesus laid out. I'm like, come on, God. Come on, King Jesus. And so I laid out in the spirit while the Holy Ghost is moving on me, man, like not just fire, energy, power. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you. Well, honey, I have been endued with power from on high. Now, I don't talk like this. And if you talk to my folks, and they were, because, you know, we don't have lying prophets, so they got to tell you the truth, because I don't deal with a lying prophet. So if you talk to my folks, they would tell you, I don't talk like this. Somebody is supposed to get a miraculous breakthrough over the course of that event. I don't know who it is. And sometimes God likes to surprise us. But you don't want to miss it. Join me starting Friday night and Saturday at Antioch Christian Assembly, Joliet, Illinois, with Apostle Nona Parker. We're taking prophetic ed. Now, here's what's exciting. I know God is hot on this subject because he's ready to fulfill his word. So I'm going to teach on locating the timing of your prophecy. You need to figure out how to bring it in. There is a way to expedite the word of the Lord in your life, just like there's a way to stagnate it and frustrate it. And then there are ways to prevent it. Wouldn't you like to know that? Now, those of you who are coming, I'm assuming all of you all in the area, come on, get a bus, get a train, get a bird, get a pigeon. You know, I heard they can carry a few things. Mm-hmm. All right, hallelujah. But those of you who are coming, bring your prophecy journals. We're going to woodshed, getting your prophecies into manifestation. You don't want to miss it. So they're going to tell you, my team will tell you where to call, where to go, but just don't miss the moment. So I had to say that because I'm too excited. I just got a major miracle today myself. I was like, okay, so God is in a different frame of mind. I was like, the Lord moved so quickly for me that I was like, Jesus, my staff is back there raising all by themselves, and you can't even see him. God moved something into my life so quickly and so solidly. I had to come home and lay out. I just didn't know what else to do. They were talking. I got to go and praise my God. I got to go and sugar up the honey man. Because, you know, our God did that thing. And I'm carrying. I said, okay, so we're in a new zone. We're in a new dimension. A fresh dispensation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a dispensation of power and signs. And what, you know, because when you start preaching the word, signs follow the word. You know, we're not seeing signs one of the miracles because folks don't preach the word. Because God's got to back God. See, you have to understand, the Holy Spirit has got to back the rest of the Godhead. Write that down. I never want you to forget it. You need a miracle, and you need to look for the word of God in your church. Do you think the enemy is suffocating the word of God and talking the church out of preaching the word of God for no reason? No. He's a strategist. His job is to win. So you need to recognize that if your church is talking about we don't do the word, we don't do the Bible, but we're not sure, we don't believe in it, whatever, first of all, you cannot tell me you're a Christian and not believe in the word of God. I'm done with that. I don't care who you are. I don't care how high you sit. I don't care how low you go. I'm telling you the whole purpose and the whole essence of Christianity is that you're born again by the incorruptible word of God. So you cannot be a Christian and not believe in the word. Well, I'm not sure I believe in Jesus. Then you're not saved by Jesus. You might be saved by a counterfeit, knockoff, drop off. We don't know. But I'm telling you that Jesus Christ, the whole salvation message, has got to be preached again, folks. We got to get people really saved. You wonder why folks sitting in those pews not saved? Because they never heard the gospel. They never heard Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost never had a reason to get in there. And so if the Holy Ghost, what I'm teaching tonight, if the Holy Ghost can't get on the inside, it doesn't make a difference how wonderful you are, how many candles you light, how many novenas, how many beads you pray over, how many walks you do, and all of that is after the fact work. The after you know, we have those after the facts, that's after the fact. But the first thing you must do is get your new creation spirit that came to earth on Pentecost out of the Holy Ghost and in you. That's number one. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. So in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to preach the gospel the way an apostle preaches the gospel, okay? We're going to preach it where it's not just about we wooing you to the Lord and Jesus sitting up there sniffing, snotting, and crying. The man is not doing that. He's getting ready for us. He's reigning and he's ruling. He's not, trust me, you know, we hear people say, you know, God would just, I mean, listen, if it was just one person left on the planet, how many of y'all heard that sermon? Come on, y'all know it. If there was just one soul left on the planet, Jesus would have died. He didn't. He had two souls he didn't die for. He had an Adam, he had an Eve who died, and he let them stay dead. See, but if you don't know this word, if you don't know the Bible, if you don't know the gospel of Jesus Christ, people could tell you anything happened back then. But see, the Holy Ghost has got to back God. And after tonight, you're going to understand that the Holy Ghost is not going to back your preacher. He's not going to back your pastor. He's not going to back Dr. Price. He's not going to back any flesh. The Holy Ghost is backing the Godhead, and you need to get clear. He does not have to manifest anything. So you waiting for a healing, and you thinking it's all in your pastor. Let me tell you right now, I am an agent of the Godhead. I am an agent of the Godhead. I'm an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a royal representative of the throne of Christ, but all of it is about Jesus Christ. And when I split from Christ, like any other job, all of the goodies stay with him, and I'm emptied out. You leave your job. They don't let you take the computer, the phone, the office, the wonderful furniture. They don't even let you take the key code, your passcode. Won't even let you keep the badge. You had to pay for the badge. They don't care. You cannot keep it. Turn in the uniform. See, a lot of ministers don't have it because they left Christ and God pulled back on his office resources and his office accoutrements. Miracles stay with Jesus Christ because the Holy Ghost and the heavenly hosts have, even the devil got to back the Godhead. Why do you think sin exists? Because God said, listen, when they don't do what I want, you have at it. And so he'll tell you, no, I'm supposed to do this. You're also, well, he's not going. If you're not rolling with the God who's giving you life, you're gonna have to, by default, fall into the hands of God who brings death. Because God assigns every power, every resource He has. So that's good. You're gonna love it. I wanted to get you there. So I don't care what your preacher says. I'm telling you, when you leave a job, you leave a company, they don't let you bring stuff. So when they left God, you need to figure out, here's what I want to say. I don't know why I'm here tonight, but somebody needs to hear this. And if that's you, then let me know on Facebook and Periscope and that it's you. I want you to tell me. Blog Talk, hi, you too. Hey, okay, I got to give everybody, you know, hey, I got a big fan. LinkedIn, Twitter, come on, let me know. But this is what I want you to understand. When God pulled back from Adam, it's because Satan entered him. The spirit of the serpent, and he left. So he was stuck in that body called serpent, and then he traded up. He got a human body made in the image and likeness of God and all the Almighty. Can you think about that? That was a major coup. He traded up. They had a contest. Adam lost. And, well, the rest is history. Now, think about it. When Saul did not do what God wanted to do, it said a distressing spirit. The spirit of the Lord left Saul, and the distressing spirit came. Well, they call it a distressing spirit, vexing spirit. You call it whatever you want. Understand that that every human has to get an anointing from some spirit. Every human. I don't care who it is. And see, because we don't know how to interrogate the spirit realm, and we don't know how to investigate and identify and verify the spiritual beings, anything that looks like it gives us the same results got to be the same God. No. You understand, a snake oil salesman is not going to tell you it's snake oil. He's going to dress it up like the high-priced medicine, high-priced pill. He's going to dress it up, put it in a slick bottle, put some fragrance to it. No, you like fragrance, you know, aromatherapy works to sell anybody on anything. And so he'll put a nice slick bottle, and then he's going to tell you how wonderful it is, and you know how good they are. Come on, somebody. This, oh, come on. I told you, I've been with the Holy Ghost. I'm laid out up in the Spirit of God right now. I already sent my body here because, baby, I'm laid out in the Holy Ghost right about now. So let me tell you. So this is what they'll do. And then they'll tell you, after he puts it in the wonderful bottle, give you a classy little label, and then he's going to make you feel stupid because it doesn't work. Great salesmen, great false salesmen make you feel dumb because their falsehood doesn't work. But I don't understand why it's not working for you. Do you realize 4 million people are walking around today, healed, delivered, suffering because of this? And you're like, well, okay, maybe something's wrong with me. No, nothing's wrong with me. This is an empty bottle of some dirty water that you're sweetening up, boiled up, and put some oil in. I'm telling you, every human has got to get their 6th and 7th sense power from somebody. We got 5 senses for a reason. Our 6th sense, maybe our soul. We'll talk about that another day. If you want to read about that, I wrote that in my handbook. There's, you know, in my prophet's handbook is around here somewhere. I got so many things. Go up, but there it is over here. Look at that. I got it. It's hanging in. So Saul, when Saul disobeyed God, he traded anointings. Because that's what the spirits do. They anoint you. And they're anointing him. So he traded his anointing. So from that moment on, his throne was not anointed by God. Remember, Saul came to power. There was no ark. God was already mad. God had already left. You know, the ark was gone. We don't know what happened. Eli's 2 boys dead and all of that. So there is no covenant there anyhow. And so God was creating the premise for him to intervene and supersede with another grace. And Saul couldn't back that. So I'm telling you, don't get it in your mind. And Saul went on. The only people who knew Saul had left God was Saul's closest servants. Everybody else like, that's a king. Bless God, he's a king. God is with him. They don't even, because you know the people downstairs don't know that the people upstairs have fallen and can't get up. So it's only the close people with them who know. And it's the close folks that knew that Saul had a distressing spirit, and they knew it mobilized him. So they had to send out and get a sweet minstrel, a sweet musician to bring things down, because Saul, this spirit, even though it was given public graces, it was given private torment. And it's the private torment that brought David into the castle, into the palace, to minister to Saul. Oh, yeah, I'm really good at this thing. You know why? Because I'm loving on me some Jesus Christ. But, oh, hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. And you know what? I can preach this. Do you know this word is rich in my mouth? My folks don't ever get tired of me ministering. They don't. Now, other folks get tired because, you know, if you don't have enough word in you, you're going to be sleepy. It's going to wear you out. It's going to make you tired. You're going to get a headache. You know, you need your mouth get dry. Got to get a man out carrying on. But let me tell you something. Those who know their God hunger for their God. If you packing God on the inside, you want to put him on the outside. If you're not carrying the Godhead on the inside, then meeting him on the outside is painful. It's painful. It really is. Because God's a lot. He's a lot of power. He's a lot of strength. He's a lot of everything. But I wanted to give you that because I'm going somewhere. I'm going somewhere. But before I get deep in it, whew, hallelujah, I'm excited. Glory to Jesus. It's a yum, yum Jesus. You know, oh, Lord Almighty, I'm lost. Guys, you know what? I'm going to try to stay on topic, but I can't guarantee you tonight. The man done blessed me real, real good. I'm all blessed up by the Holy Ghost. All blessed up in Jesus. Whew, honey. I'm telling you, all blessed up inside, outside. The anointing is all glory to God. I live in a unique anointing. I mean, I'm telling you, this is something different. Got to live up on this, man. All right. Roll call. Who's out there? I bet you thought I forgot. I didn't. Come on. Tell me who's out there, prophet.
We have Gainesville, Florida.
Hey, Gainesville.
Hartford, Connecticut.
My fam. Hi, Hartford.
I hope I'm saying this right. Umatilla, Florida.
I like Florida. They have all of those very interesting names.
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful?
Not Florida. Oklahoma.
No, we don't know. No, I'm still stuck in Miami being Miami and Oklahoma. I'm stuck in that. There's something else. I'm off topic. I told you.
Paris, Tennessee, of course, is checking in.
Hi, Paris.
You know, Bossier City, Louisiana is checking in.
Hey, Apostle.
Clarksville, Tennessee.
Yes. Hanging with me.
Oklahoma City.
Hey, Sam.
St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah, hey, you might leave a blessing in St. Louis as you pass on through.
Reporting for duty, Detroit.
Hey, hi, Detroit. And pretty soon we're going to connect Detroit because God got something for us to do. So, sis, we're going to connect. It's going to happen.
Atlantic Beach, North Carolina.
Hey, all right. The beach people, you know, it's nice and warm.
Yes, let me see. Boynton Beach, Florida.
All right. Whew. I got to get a house in Florida. I'm convinced I'm supposed to be having a second home in Florida. I got to fly down in there. I got it all in there.
You know, Atlanta's in the house.
Hey, Atlanta, which is near Florida, right? Nah, you know me and my geography. I didn't get a name.
Oh,
okay, it's all everything's a fly away. Hallelujah. Come on, how about you?
California.
Oh, I got California.
Hi,
California.
Yeah, a couple games ago.
Oh,
Texas.
Right next door. Amen. How about you?
We have Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Portland. Family.
Maryland.
Right there. Hey, Maryland. You know, that's how they say it. My heart just go, oh. Because you know what? I'm going to be on one of them beaches up in the Trinidad people. You watch this.
Westchester, Pennsylvania.
Ooh, that's new. Hi, Westchester. Welcome aboard.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Milwaukee, God bless you. Hey, the power of God moving up in there.
Juliet.
Yeah. Family, see you tomorrow.
Los Angeles.
California. Hi, Los Angeles.
Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Ooh, that's something. Hi, Albuquerque. Welcome aboard. We're glad you're joining us.
North Carolina,
yes.
Riverside, California.
So now it's Florida and California. I feel a call of God. I feel a call of God. I don't know. Anybody feel it? I feel it. You know, I can't call it Macedonia because it's California, but you know what? It could be.
Brooklyn, New York.
Hometown at Brooklyn, New York. Hey!
We have the UK.
You know how I feel about the UK. Hi, UK. Stay with me, because I'm surely staying with you.
We have Tallahassee, Florida.
All right, that's it. I'm telling you I'm going to have to get some property in Florida. Mm-hmm. All right. I got this.
Louisiana.
Hello, Louisiana. You know, we've been there once. I got to go back and visit the Louisiana people.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been, but only one time. It was wonderful.
Colleen, Texas.
Hey, Colleen, Texas. Glad to have you with us. Woo. Boy, look at how we're growing.
Yes.
We are growing, people. We are growing, and we're growing as apostolic Christians because this is ABCs of Apostleship, Discipling Apostolic Christians. This is book two, and if you look on your screen, here's book one, which just kind of whets your appetite, warms you up. You see the difference? You see, if you can get this one, then you get the big book. So it's kind of like being at the big table. Hallelujah. So skip this, and then you get to be at the big table. And this is a congregational study guide. So just for those of you who are just joining us for the first time, the whole idea is that all Christians begin their Christian walk apostolic because we all are born again by the word of God that God, Jesus Christ, gave to his apostles. So we start apostolic. You know, many times we preach this whole thing as if there was a church back then. No, the church was still in Christ. And so Jesus brought a message to a kingdom. He brought a message to his nation. It was a nation because God was converting people to his nationality. And so born-again Christians are converted. We're born again to become the same nationality as the Godhead. We are partakers of their divine nature. So you need to know all of that because that's why people trifling with their Christianity. But and also why we keep telling people, it's all right, you can do any old thing you want. You'll be all right. Don't believe that lie. You can't. You know? You cannot. So it's exciting. It's exciting to see what God is doing, and it's exciting to know this. So this here is based on you getting reconnecting with your apostolic roots, your apostolic origins. So you have, you know, your apostolic roots and your apostolic origin. We were born again of the Lord Jesus Christ. The premise is that we were in Christ before the foundation of the world. So I wanted to tell you this so that you would understand why we're doing this and why this is new. Oh, hallelujah. I want to tell you that it's important for us. I have my page, so I might not even get there tonight because I have my page. Oh, here we are. Paige, I found it, guys. Aren't you glad? And you can thank all of you for getting your book, page 26. Get getting your books. I'm getting this. And if you want to know the rest of what I teach, here it is, Before the Garden, God's Eternal Continuum. Powerful book. A total package of apostolic theology from the mantle of apostleship, not just teacher, not just evangelist, not just pastor, but from the mantle that started it. The gospel came to God's apostles. Hallelujah. We don't want to, we act like that's not the truth, but it is. It's Bible. You know, and again, when you take people out of their constitution, you can take them any way you want to take them. And see, the Bible is our constitution. That means we are made up of Scripture, constitution, what we're made of. What is your constitution? We made up that. So I'm going to go over here. Page 26, in addition to Christians who can win souls, share their testimony, and settle into churches, the Lord needs Christians who really connect with his sovereignty as well as his salvation. Isn't that good? Because, see, most of the church is well connected with Christ's salvation, but they are disconnected from his sovereignty, which is why he's saying, why call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things I say? So if I'm your Lord, then the sovereign side of me is just as imposing on you as the salvation. And so, to go on, he needs Christians that do not want to change him or envision changing his world when he gets there. I don't know. I've got to just, wait a minute, hold on. Just give me a minute now. You know, think about it. Do you realize that every time somebody tells you that you don't have to and God doesn't care and it doesn't matter, that is a revolutionary spirit. Those are people who plan to revolt against God and change his world when they get there. It's like people who come to our country to change our country, to benefit from our prosperity, but to change us into their own belief system and values. We live with that now. So God's like, y'all not going to do that here. No. So if you have a problem with modesty here, you'll have a real problem with modesty in God's world. If you have a problem with holiness here, when you get to God's world, it's going to get on your nerves. God will get on, because he gets on your nerves now, which is why you die from church and you're fighting and nobody, you call him religious, you call him legalistic, you call him all kinds of stuff. That's just legalistic. It ought to be. It says the government should be a part of the shoulders. We ought to be real legalistic. The word legal actually means loyal, so we ought to be loyal to our God and keeping his kingdom the way he likes it. Legal means keeping it the way the founder or the originator made it. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going on. So, I want to read that again. I'm just excited. I can stop on that. He needs Christians that do not want to change him or envision changing his world when they get there. The Christian convert God seeks refuses to downgrade Jesus Christ's work and will never blaspheme his holiness. I don't blaspheme. Yes, you do. That's religious. Every time you call the holy principle, God himself is telling you what he calls holy. He's going to tell him something else. So you don't mean to, because a lot of, you got a pastor took you out the word of God, hey, you don't know, you're tuning in here so you can get it right. And the reason you want to get it right is because you have a real Jesus on the inside. See, the real Jesus on the inside, it will tell you what he likes, even though the false Jesus on the outside is trying to change it. That's why you all are frustrated. All right. No matter how popular it is to do so in modern times, apostolic Christians do not disparage or violate God's righteousness to show how cool he is. They understand the inspiration behind such tactics and are acutely aware that the Lord is looking for sons and daughters who hallow him, and I want to say, as he is. Apostolic Christians know that God is utterly disinterested in mortals that seek to make him fit in with other gods. You realize God's not trying to get along in the playground. He's like, I own this playground, and I'm not going to get along. The Almighty is not a pantheon deity, which is what bearing the title of Almighty means. These Christians know the Lord rejects any attempt to reform him to make him compatible with fallen humanity. God is holy, and he likes his holiness. The conflict arises when darkened human minds try to interpret and apply his superlative holiness. Okay, holiness to God is more than restraint. It is prudence and discretion. It is practicality guided by wisdom, cautious, and thoughtfulness. It is purity without prudishness. Despite people's issues with his holiness, God considers it his best self, and given He has existed forever. He sees no reason to change or to downgrade himself. Holiness means more to the Lord than any of the creatures he made could ever know. Christians appointed to apostleship share his eternal citizen's view of their maker. They revere God as creator of all because that is what makes him unique. God, our Lord, stands in a class of his own. So while you balk at holiness, God is like, I don't have a problem with holiness. What I'm saying is that nothing I made contaminated or changed me. That's what holiness means to God. Nothing I made contaminated or changes me. God cannot be altered. He cannot be downgraded. You can't denigrate him. He'll just, like he did with Saul, I'm out. Like he did with Adam, see ya. I'll meet you on the other side. God will leave you before he lets you contaminate him. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, which means he's not going to change. You'll get tired of his holiness before he gets tired of dealing with you trying to change it. You'll get tired of it and just say, I'm done with you. I'm done with God. I can't do this Christian thing. I can't do this. I'm sorry. I'm just too hard. God is holy for a reason. Holy means you can't break him down. You can't disintegrate him. You can't make him dirty. You can't make him what he isn't. You can't cause him to reinvent himself for your weaknesses. See, God's not going to do that. He, I don't have to. I'm God. I'm going to be around forever. You know, Jesus, I gave you a 3 score and 10. Some of you all, I gave you a few extra decades, 1 or 2, a few extra years. So God can wait until your mortal body goes back to the dust, at which point, however your spirit and soul are, whatever condition your soul is, that's when he begins to deal with. God is not judging your behavior. You know, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, you can't, God judges my heart. You better know it, but your heart is broadcasting your behavior, and your behavior broadcasts your heart. You see how it goes? So your heart says, this is what we want, so this is how we're going to do it. Your behavior says, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing, because in my heart, this is how I want to be. I love when people say, charge it to my heart and not my head. You don't want me to do that. Trust me. Trust me, because your heart is the major conductor. We'll talk about that in my book, 3D. We talk about that. But anyway, let's get on with the ghetto. You know, I've gotten so excited, I don't know what to do. Woo, hallelujah. Now, listen, we're going to the screen, and I'm going to talk to you about something I said to you last week. I want to go on and pick that up. We're talking about predestination. That means, did God decide before he made anybody who would be saved? See, we think that God, when Jesus brought salvation to the cross, that God made the decision. No. The scripture says we were in Christ before the foundation of the world. We were in Christ. We were in Christ. Jesus didn't come here to get us. That's not why he did it. He didn't come here to put us in him. We were in Christ. So Jesus brought our eternal spirits to the planet with us in him the way parents, mothers, and fathers carry their children's material. So he was in us. So I told you last week that, let's get it right, I told you last week that the Holy Spirit brought the entire Christian population to the planet on church's first Pentecost. I'm going to revisit that because some people have asked me all kinds of questions concerning it, so I figure I have to finish it out. The Holy Spirit brought the entire Christian population to earth. I'm telling you because you need to see what that means. That means that when Jesus came, he brought us in seed form. When Jesus came. You see all them lights? I see us popping up. See, those are us that's getting saved. See that in there? All the little lights. I got lights going on. Yeah, I had fun with this for you guys. So don't miss it because you're going to see it. Look, the Holy Ghost, new birth coming on in us, okay? The Holy Spirit brought the entire Christian population to earth. Now, why is that important, Dr. Price? Why do we need to talk about that? Because you think we can change the rules. We cannot change the rules. We cannot decide how God wants to be treated. God already sent our spirits and programmed our new creation spirits to do what he wants, to give him what he wants when he wants to, and to war against everything that opposes us. But Christianity was defined. Hebrews 12 makes us know Christianity was defined before the foundation of the world. That's why the world can't tell you what a Christian is. Jesus said you must be born again to even see the kingdom of God. And so you have people who are not born again telling you how Christians should behave. And you know what? Y'all changing for them. That's like us going to another country, telling them how they need to be, what they are. They're gonna say, we don't care about you. What you? You don't know. You know nothing. You're a visitor. Go get your little book stamped and go home. You are, and the enemy banks on us, because when we take you out of the Word of God, you lose your sense of purpose. You don't lose your salvation. You lose the reason why God saved you and the logic. See, we're operating on so much rhema. That's a rhema word. That's a rhema word. We forgot that rhema has to answer to Logos. So the Logos Word of God has already defined a Christian, has already designed a Christian. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, sugar time. Hallelujah. Oh, you know that's good. That man is so good. God's like, I'm not trusting y'all to do it. Come on. Hey, come on. Lift up your hand. I need some. Hey, come on. Some bitch shit. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I'm trying to be nice on the Periscope, on the Facebook, and, you know, it's not working for me today. God is a good. Hey, we. Hey. Ah, we're pushing some things through for you. Hallelujah. You're praising. God said, I'm pushing some things through. You got to give him some sugar. You know, he's a sugar man. Jesus is a sugar, and I love him. Jesus, you are my honey. You know, he is my honey, and I do. I love praising our King. Come on, tell somebody, you need to get healed. Get in the sugar time. Come on, you need a breakthrough. Come on, give him some sugar. The Lord loves praise. He loves. He said he inhabits the praises of his people. So I want to make sure he never leaves. I want him up in my praise. Come on, God. We lift you up, Jesus Christ. We celebrate you, Son of God. We magnify you, Almighty God. You are the everlasting God. We celebrate and rejoice in the Ancient of Days. Hallelujah. The beginning and the end. Hallelujah. The first and the last. We celebrate you, Jesus, as a faithful witness and our faithful creator. Oh, come on. Ah! Hallelujah. And no, I'm not cool. I am smart, but I'm not cool. And guess what I'm here to show you? Smart Christians can be passionate about their God. We don't have to be too cool for God. So, yes, I am going to act. You know, David said, I'm going to act unseemly for my God. Yes, I am. I'm going to show off for my honey. He is my honey man, and I'm going to show off for him. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. And you know, anybody get mad about Jesus praying but the devil. And so if the devil is upset, that's because we, for 30 seconds, he did not get center stage. Come on, Jesus. We're going to love on this man called Jesus. Yes, I am. I'm like Paul. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm not ashamed of my God. And they ain't made a devil. It's going to make me bow. I promise you. 35 years I've walked with this man. 35 years. Some of you all know me from 1990. I've been the same woman. I've been loving on him. My love just got better, and it just got sweeter because as he made more sense, I felt more deeply in love with him. I have not changed my God. I've not changed my doctrine. I've not changed my message. I've not changed my faith. I've not changed my love. You have watched ministers change and change and change and change. They go on a trip. They come back with a new word. They go to a meeting, come back to a new word, sit at the devil's round table, come back, don't even know Jesus anymore. I've never changed my word, and I'm too old. I'm old. Can't change. Been with this man 35 years. 35. The honey loved up the King Jesus. Yes, I do love him up. I've never changed. But you said, Paul, why are you strong? Because I've never changed. I mean, when I lost everything, I didn't change. When they cut me up, I still didn't change. When they broke me, I didn't change. When they put my name out as evil, I didn't change. When they said I was false, I didn't change. Because when people came back to me, it was like going back to the soap opera. I'm still saying the same thing I was saying. I've never changed. He's my honey, and I'm never going to change. I love this man of sugar pie. Yes, he is sweet, man. Yes, I do. By the way, as I was saying,
no. I cannot do that.
Sugar break's over. Oh, yes, I have lost everything for this. I've lost everything for this gospel, this precious gospel. Yes, I did. Walked away from it when I didn't walk away. Tears running down my face. I'm walking away. My body broke down. Can't move. Legs don't work. This man has given me more miracles than I can count. My people will tell you I couldn't walk. This man gave me my life back, and I'm not changing. Yes, I'm going to talk about Jesus. They ain't made a devil that's going to shut. No, I'm not. I'm going to shut. And you know what? I don't care how much I still talk about this man called Jesus. He's a sugar. And he is my sugar. And now you know why he's my sugar. I've never changed my message. You are following people who've changed 16 times, talking about I hope they get it right. We're going to pray that they get it right. If you got to pray for them to get it right, that means you got to wallow in their wrong until they get the message. And if they never get it, you are baptized into the wrong. I told you I've been with the Lord, the man I told you better get over there to Joliet. Yes, you can see I'm crazy. I done lost it, baby. I ain't trying to find it. Yes, I'm lost in Jesus. Yes, I am. That, and he knows it. And you know what he knows? He knows he can count on me because I got his back. See, some of you all, y'all got his faith, but I got his back. Hallelujah. Whew. I need some water. Come on, Jesus. I need some. Come on, love this man called Jesus. You following people to change their doctrine 16 times, and you talking about that's a man of God. You haven't even figured out if they change the doctrine, they change the God. You need to find out who the new God is, because you may not want to worship that. Whew. All right, let's move on. I can't help it. I'm just, hey, what can I say? He's my honey. Yes, he is. He is my honey. And I'm telling you. And you know what? I still can read. I can use big letters. I can write books. Come on. Smart. And you know why I'm smart? Because I was smart enough to stay with all wisdom, all logic. I have the mind of Christ, and I broadcast it, and I publish it. I publish this man's mind. I ain't trying to publish some other God. He got enough. They all got enough people. Jesus needs me, and I need him, and we are good together. I say to her all the time, I say, you know, sweetheart, we are so good together. We make wonderful things happen. We do. We make awesome stuff happen. Look at that. We got all the little things. The crap things getting saved on the screen. Look at that. Woo! I'm supposed to go somewhere now, aren't I?
You got him all tore up.
I'm supposed to go somewhere. I don't even know where I'm going. Glory to Jesus. I got to go back to something. Come on. Loving on this man. You know what? I'm loving on him. And the Holy Ghost is a witness. I never turned on this man. Not one time did I turn on him. I didn't care what we buried. I didn't care what we left. I didn't care what we threw away. I didn't care what we lost. I didn't care what they said. When I laid in the hospital, and I'm thinking about I'm not even going to live. Almost. And you know what I said? I know him and whom I believe. I know that my Redeemer lives. I don't care what no. They can't make a devil to make me not know Jesus Christ. He's my sugar. And every year I grew in love. I grew in grace. And every year I grew in love and I grew in grace. I grew in confidence. And every year I grew in love and grew in grace and grew in confidence. I grew in conviction. He is, are you kidding? He is the great I am. Yes, he is. And he is the great I am because he allows us to treat him like trash and still gives us sun, rain, snow, favor, healthy kids, healthy life. Are you kidding? You better know I'm going to sweeten him up. Sometimes Jesus needs us to sweeten him up because he got a whole lot of mess he's dealing with. So I just tell him, come on, Jesus, for a minute, I'm just going to love on you. I'm just going to call your name. I'm just going to glorify you. I'm just going to magnify your name. Yes, I am. Are you kidding? I am an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not the apostle of the knockoff Christ, the fake Christ, the yesterday Christ, the would have been Christ, the Hindu Christ, the Buddhist Christ. I'm the Lord Jesus Christ, the Ancient of Days. That's my God. And yes, I'm a brag about him. And yes, I'm a boast on him. Yes, I am. And preach him. And you know what? I didn't have to change his word to preach him. I didn't have to alter it. I just waited out, like every other giant, you just wait out your hard times because the times will change. Cycles will change. And when people couldn't hear me, they hear me today. When they couldn't get it, they get it today. You know why? Because people live long enough in the wrong, they'll understand the words to your song. I'm coming down, folks. Just a Hamashiach. I'm coming back to earth, but just give me a minute. You know, we have to do a slow descent. Slowly come on down. Whew. Hallelujah. This man is awesome. He is awesome. And I'm telling you, and you can share this to everybody because a lot of you all have my story, but you let him pump you out. They couldn't pump Paul the Price. I'm not doing it. I'm telling you, I'm not doing it. You can ask my folks. Our tears running down my face. The devil is a liar. My God reigns. He's the highest God. He's the everlasting God. He's the maker of all things. God said, behold, all souls are mine. My God calls the shot, and he calls them so well, he makes you think it's your idea. He is almighty. Yes, he is. And I love it. And his world is real because I've been there several times. And I'm telling you, I have a living hope. Come on. Okay, I got to shut up. Okay, let me just, how much here? Come on, Jesus. Come on. Mm-mm. Hallelujah. Got to shut up, man. I'm a beast of the head, total. Yes. He's a sweet thing. I know why Jesus is sweet, because he did not build us in his weakness. He built us in his supremacy. That's why he's holy, because he got rid of all things that could take him out before he started reproducing after his own kind. And so the Holy Spirit brought the entire Christian population to the planet. Now, in addition to that, that's not all he did. The Holy Spirit, see, the world come down, they didn't turn. So I want you all to catch this, because, you know, Jesus wants you all to get this. All right. Turn. Yeah, I know, I did. I want you to get this, because he didn't just bring us. Bless his name. He brought the entire kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit annexed God's eternal kingdom to the earth. He did. And if you look, keep watching, because you're going to see the fire of God begin to show up, the life of God. Yes, Lord, because our God reigns. He's a sugar-fied Jesus. He brought the entire kingdom of God, dropped it in the planet in invisible form, which is why Jesus can say the kingdom of God is within you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Are you kidding? I love having Jesus in me. Oh, baby, I'm just so glad. And you know what? Because that means I don't have to call him up. I don't have to go to church. Come on, baby. I just need you to talk to me right now, Jesus. Because it's crazy. I need you to help me. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm calling on you. Listen, yes, I do. I take full advantage of Christ in me. Yes, I do. I think it's the most awesome thing. Now, moving on. Now, what I want to talk to you about a little bit, because, you know, I'm running out of time. I didn't praise myself crazy. I just can't help it. I want to talk to you about the kingdom of heaven versus the kingdom of God. Because God's eternal kingdom, his whole eternal realm, came to the planet. Before you turn, just one more. So the Holy Spirit brought it all. God's Spirit transported the fullness of his earthly commonwealth. Okay, so what God assigned to the heaven, the Holy Ghost brought it to the planet. And that included citizens, kingdoms, and cities. Isn't that something? Pentecost, as invisible as it may have been, we needed the cloven tongues of fire, but Pentecost brought the entirety of how God lives to planet Earth, how God reigns to planet Earth. So God stationed the Holy Spirit here. Hallelujah. He wanted us to know, I got this covered. God sending the Holy Spirit to the planet forever settled the following. Oh, this is good. Why Christ did what he did, what a Christian is, what Christ's ecclesia is, how Christianity is to be populated, lived. You might have to expand it a little bit. Come on, make it a little big for him. How Christianity is to be populated, lived, practiced, preserved, and returned to heaven. All of that was defined beforehand. You know, we have heard so much church history and church doctrine, we've lost sight of Christ's doctrine. And sometimes if you're having issues with what I'm saying, it's because you're too full of church doctrine and not full enough of the Godhead's doctrine. You know, an apostle exists to tell God's story. A prophet exists to tell you what God's issues are. We must go. Apostles will take you into God's memoirs if they're in him, if they're staying with him. Because sometimes, you know, warfare make people do a lot of things. And sometimes the warfare gets so heavy, folks, like, I'm out of this battle. I don't want to fight this war any longer. And see, to me, but let me tell you something. The chosen choose to stay in the fight. And the best are made better by the press. You're still with Christ because you're chosen best or his very elect. And so, you know, some of you all like to say, well, you know, the Bible said that in the end times, even in left wing. No, it didn't say that. The Bible said that God shortened the days so that the very elect would be saved, which means the very elect, now the elect may fall, but the very elect is not supposed to. God's not going to lose not one very elect. Now, moving on, I'm going to read this. eternity and Christ, ecclesia, eternality. But you are come, come on, just stay right on there, let them just hear me. But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. So this is Hebrews 12, 22 through 24. If you are a trainer, you're an educator, you know, Bible teacher, apostolic, prophetic teacher, you need to take the next several classes and break the seal on this passage, because everything you want to know about your faith and your God is in these few passages. And you should stick them around the table and say, okay, guys, let's read it and keep reading it again and again and again aloud. Because one of the reasons that you miss Revelation is you read it to yourself. And when you read it to yourself, your mind is filtering and editing and paraphrasing or adjusting what you read to the sermons that you've heard. And you want to start reading it aloud. When I have a lot of spiritual warfare, I walk through my house reading my Bible aloud. And I mean good and loud. And I read it aloud. And from reading to aloud or listening to it, you know, I love the Bible Gateway people and all of those programs and sites that let you just listen to the Word of God. Because as you do, God himself paints the picture in your soul. First thing, you are come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. When Mount Zion was in the wilderness, it was not a city, it was a mountain. But God says in his Mount Zion, there is a city, and he lives there. And then the heavenly Jerusalem, which is what, you know, the Jerusalem we have here, that's the, you know, earthly template. Listen, God said it was a pie. He didn't say it was the real. It's template. He said because God already has new Jerusalem, his eternal Jerusalem, his eternal city, his eternal world, his new heaven and new earth, they're already in store. They were in store before the Holy Ghost came. God doesn't react to earthly events. He's enacting the events that bring his word to pass. He doesn't react, he enacts. And you need to be clear on it. So God is not reacting to when you have a bad day with him. God has already enacted before your day came how he's going to bring you out and keep you in his family, keep you in his grace. God doesn't react. He doesn't have to react. Anybody with foreknowledge will not react. How much more someone with all knowledge? God's not surprised you slipped and fell last Thursday. You're surprised because you thought you were more established than you were. You thought you were stronger than you were. You didn't think that was going to happen. But you know what? God wants you to realize his world has real adversaries who are very good at what they do. And they're so good at seducing you that they blind you to the seduction until it's too late. And he made it that way because God wants you to be vigilant and alert all the time. You have to discern yourself with everything. And so God already has that. Now listen to this. And an innumerable company of angels. They already predate us, guys. That's why God can't keep, well, you know, in the end, God's just going to save everybody. No, no, no. All those angels are like, are you kidding? We stayed with you when Lucifer rose up against you. We fought the battle. We didn't sell you out. We've kept you faithful. Oh, no, no, no. You're not going to tell us that now for all of that, our reward is a bunch of corrupt humans. You're not going to tell us that's our inheritance. Now, you know that was good, wasn't it? See, because we're so caught up in humanity's inheritance, we don't realize we're not the only one getting an inheritance in this. And God's got a reputation among all of those beings that predate us and that existed when he had to bring his life, his planet back under his realm, his creation, back under his control. So they could tell you that all day long, but let me tell you something. It's kind of like you. You're not going to tell me that the guy that just robbed the company is going to get the promotion, and everybody knows he just robbed the company, and he told us. People have no faith in bad leaders. You look at our country. We have no faith in leaders who keep changing the rules and who keep downgrading the standard. All you know is that in the end, you're going to bottom out with bad leaders, because bad leaders can bring you to no place but the basement. And these angels are like, no, no, you're not, no, that's not going to happen. No. And so, and then the church of the firstborn. This church existed, but God already had a church, an ecclesia of his eternal being. He's adding us to it. We're coming into our own as the heirs of Jesus Christ. He said the church, so we are registered in heaven. God, talking about predestination, our names are written in heaven. How are you going to be omniscient and don't know who's going to get saved? That's a theology we just need to take off the books. How are you going to be omniscient, all-knowing, and not know who's going to get saved? How are you going to be omniscient and not have a pattern, a model, a type, a prototype of who you want to live with you forever? God cannot say, I did not know you were going to get saved. What did he say? You were chosen before the foundation of the world. What did Jesus say? Did I not choose you 12 and one of y'all the devil? He did say that, right? He said, I chose you. I prayed and chose you, one of y'all the devil. So I already know 11 of y'all are going to finish with me, and one of you all are going to turn me in. The Bible said that Jesus was put on the cross according to the predetermined will of God. See, but you know, we can have those battles when we're still struggling on, well, I don't know, I can't read. Don't you think the Bible just too hard to read? No, it's not. It's not hard on you. It's hard on your flesh. Your intelligence can well handle being the, it's got the same words in it that the People Magazine got. Same word, whatever. Same words your newspaper have that you read every day. Same word, people, man, woman, child, you know, a crime list, crime free. Got same words. You just don't like them compiled by the Almighty. And that's because your skin, your flesh has been programmed to reject God and to resent him. So now, so we've got like this, the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. There are already spiritual beings, people in there. We know three already. We know that there's Enoch, spirit of just men made perfect. We know there's Moses. We know there's Elijah. And we know there's Jesus. So we've got those. We also know that Jesus went into hell, and he emptied out the bosom of Abraham, so we know we got the spirits of just men made perfect. And we got some people already gone before, and they had to go before according to the heavenly standard. And it was worse for them than it was for us. Do you realize there are literally millions and millions of Christians today, and literally tens of thousands of apostles, and he turned this thing over with 12, tens of thousands of apostles who lost the planet, who lost the church, who lost this man's place in government, who lost his seat in all of that, tens of thousands. Come on, people. This is already done. We don't get a chance to rewrite it. We get a chance to enter in or opt out. That's all. We got two. Enter in or opt out. See, because God could just write your name out the book. Okay, so you don't want it. He's not adjusting the book now. He already knows at the end what the book is going to look like. That's why he can show it to John at the end in the Revelation. He did not say, John, just give me a minute. We're updating this. You know, we're updating it. Updates. Okay, and now we're upgrading. God's not updating the book of life. He's not updating it. He's upgrading the saint. He's not updating the book of life. Oh, hallelujah. And then, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than of Abel. You know, I like to talk to people who work in blood, like phlebotomists and hematologists and all of that, because this particular statement is rich with divine insight. It's rich to Abel at the time that Paul wrote this, Abel's blood is still speaking. Today we know from forensic science, blood never shuts up. We know that. Blood doesn't shut up. No matter where he is, all these years later, we still got some stuff in, okay, never shuts up. Your DNA never shuts up. Your hair follicles still tell your business. Late, way down the line. All right? That's something. So when he wrote this from heaven's technology, not from humanity. And he said, but Jesus' blood did not have one sin element in it, not one. Even though God put sin on him, it did not touch his bloodline. It didn't touch his blood flow. It just touched his body. So when you, here's what he's saying, when you test Jesus' blood, even after sin was put on him, you weren't going to find any human contamination. That's why it's the sinless blood of the Lamb. See, because the physical lamb, the animal lamb that were kind of substituting for Christ all those years, their blood was sinless because they did not commit acts worthy of their death. Jesus' blood is sinless because it's the blood of Almighty God. God is literally, God's bloodline is what Jesus brought to the planet. So when that man bled down that cross, he and that guy, the little guard at the end said, okay, so I just received my sight. Because in Jesus' blood, there was nothing to kill him. That's why God had to kill him. There was nothing to kill him. There was nothing to weaken him. And so when Paul is writing this, he's saying, but we're talking about a human bloodline, a human divine bloodline that heals instead of kills. Now, you know, we get to anybody else's blood, baby, we need some plastic gloves, we need some masks, we need a whole lot of stuff, and we got to wash your hand 99 times because there's enough residual to stay on there to contaminate you for days. But Jesus' blood touched your body, and every time his blood, the man spit opened up somebody's eyes. You know, goodness, today he can't be on the planet today spitting, boy. We're going to chase him around with a cup. He's going to be all dehydrated and carrying on. They're going to lock him up just for spitting his blood. Come on, and his sweat. Because that body was the healing body of creation. Spirits, angels, everybody, everything was purged. Because he said he brought together in one all things that are in heaven and on earth. And even beneath the earth, when he went to Abraham and all of those saints that died in faith. So you're talking about the blood. That's why you think about, can we imagine a blood, any human being with a blood with no drop of contaminant, no drop of, because you know what the Bible says, sin. None. No disease, no deformity. It's a blood that's reproducing life after its own kind, healing, healing, and healing. So let's just wrap this up, because you know, if you want to get the rest of this, you're going to have to come start enrolling in my classes and enroll in my school, because that's how you get all of this stuff. And you get me teaching it among other people. Prophet Ashley's looking at me strange, but she'll be okay. Just hallelujah. Come on, just a sugar tongue. Go on, pray. Put a hand up. Yeah, there you go. So, the question is not is predestination of God. The question is, does God have all knowledge? So, is he omniscient enough to know everything that he says he knows about everything he brought into existence? And if he does, then the question becomes, why did he do it? What is God making his afterlife decisions on? What is he making it on? He's making it on those who were in Christ before the foundation of the world. God bless you. She said, I have, what, 2 minutes? Okay, I got 2 minutes to tell you again. Join me. Okay, thank you. You know what? I'll tell you, Cookie, you're doing it. All right. Join me in Joliet again, Antioch Christian Assembly. Go to my website, get all of the information you need, drpaulaaprice.com. Go get all of the information you need. You want to sow a seed, you can do that there. In addition, don't forget, I'm still doing Thursday. Don't forget, join me Thursday on the Paula Price Show. Join me Thursday night, prophetic work, which I will be doing in Chicago with Pastor Fisher. And so go to my site. All of that information is there. I'm going to do it in the studio. It's going to be really fun. So you need to go and get some information on that. Until then, hey, I love you much, and I really mean it. Let me know if this blessed you. Until next week. Well, actually, till Thursday. God bless.